Okay, so we're up to Simon Shin Pei Beis, Sifkaton Tesvav. In Yisrael, the in Yehudi Lom Bais Echot Soch Liskar Me in Yehudi Lorvi Meishol. Let's say we have a again go out to our courtyard, and let's say we have five homes, and four homes there are four Jews, and in the fifth home we have a complicated situation. What is the complicated situation? Yisrael, the in Yehudi Lom Bais Echot. In this one home, home number five, there are partners. Now, this is not like the case we had before. Here's where the very important Mishnah Berurah differentiates between this case and the previous cases. In all of the cases we learned before, the one who owned the fifth house was a non-Jew. He was the owner. Anyone living in that home is because either the non-Jew was generous and let them live there, or that person was a worker. He was a sechiroi v'lekitoi. He was a worker who had the right to store things there and to live there and do what he wants there. He's the manager. But here we have a situation where the fifth house is jointly owned. They are partners. In Yisrael and Yehudi Dorm Baisachar, the non-Jew and the Jew are living in one house. So in this situation, since the house is jointly owned, it's a 50-50 partnership and they're both living there, so one must rent from the non-Jew and the Jew must contribute towards the Erev. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. There is no Mishnah Berurah. Let's go further in the Hagah. Im yeish l'cholecha dir b'fnei atzmo. The Rambam explains this in detail. If each one has a dir b'fnei atzmo, that's only true the only time you have to rent from the non-Jew and make an erev with the Jew is im yeish l'cholecha dir b'fnei atzmo v'hu adin shnei Einam Yehudim Hadorim Bevechai Gavna Bebayis Echad Tzarech Liskar Mishneim. That's when you have to rent from both of them. Now let's see the Mishmur. He explains this in much more detail. Tezvav. Okay, Tezvav, which is Sifkat and Nun. Im Yesh Perish V'ein Shum Echon Nehem Rashai L'shtamesh Bechedr HaMeyuchon L'chaveroi V'domi L'cha Shekosav HaMechamer L'el Sif L'el Sif Yud Gimel V'yichel L'mok L'oy Mokam L'oy Havi Kischiroi U'lekitoi. So he says over here, according to the Rambam is explaining the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah goes further to explain what the Rambam means. The only time, at least at this point in Shul, that you need to rent from the non-Jew and you need to do an erev with the Jews, where each one of these two residents has their own separate room. Each one has an exclusive area for themselves. That's when the non-Jew must participate in schirus, and the Jew requires an erev. Okay, next, let's become clear in a moment. B'chahai gavna nun aleph. In this situation, then you have to rent from both. Rotz loymar b'chadorim amyuchadim l'chol echad. Ho, when do you have to rent from each non-Jew? When do you have to rent from the non-Jew and do an erev with the Jew when each one has their own separate room? Ha, im idorim b'shutofos b'chol habayis. But let's say it's one big room, and the non-Jew and the Jew, they're living there together. They're living there, they equally own the entire room. It's just one big room. But even if it's true that they have, each one has separate rooms, but there is a section of this apartment which they jointly share, then ein tzarech liskor rak me'echad mehem. Okay, so from the Rambam, the way the Rambam explains the Mechaber, the Rambam seems to say that if there is a section of this home that is jointly shared by both, then you don't have to do schirus with both. If there are two non-Jews, you do not need to do schirus with both non-Jews. It's enough to do schirus with one of the two. And if there is a Jew and a non-Jew, it's enough for the Jew to contribute towards the Erev, and you don't need to do schirus at all. Being that you jointly share this area, that automatically gives the Jew control of this Rishus, and once the Jew has control of the Rishus, it's sufficient if he contributes towards the Erev and nothing more needs to be done. However, that's what's mashma from the words of the Rambam, how the Rambam explains the Mechaber. However, the Mishnah Berurah here very strongly disagrees. V'harbe poskim cholkim al divrei Rambam. Many of the poskim disagree with the Rambam. V'tzach liskra minu akum davka, v'chein b'seifa, v'shnei akum, nami tzach liskra m'shneihim davka. So here the Rambam, Mishnah Berurah, this is very unique, where the Mishnah Berurah comes along and is mechaber b'chilek on the Rambam and tells us, even if we have one big room, and the one big room is shared jointly by the Jew and the non-Jew, still the Jew has to contribute towards the Eruv, and the non-Jew must participate in Schirus. Now you'll ask me why. Why is this case worse than a situation where the owner of this home is a non-Jew, and the non-Jew has hired a Sochir or a Loket, and if the Sochir and the Loket, he participates in Schirus, that is sufficient for the non-Jew as well. A Loket means a worker for a seasonal worker. A Sochir works the entire year, a Loket works for the season. The Atam, so here he says these very powerful words, when you have partners, each one is independent. Even though they jointly share this room, this one big room, and each one has a cot. There's a cot here, the non-Jew has his cot here, and the Jew has his cot there. And sometimes they can change, they can put their cots in different locations because they jointly share the room. But being that they're 50-50, they're equal partners in this room, they are independent. And once a person has independence, you need to deal with him separately. So if there's a Jew and a non-Jew, the Jew must contribute towards the Eruv, and the non-Jew requires schirus. Only in a situation where there's one person that's superior, he is the boss, and the other one is subordinate, then you can do rental or you can make tikkun for this bias by one of the two. Either the boss, you go to the superior, the one that's in charge, or even if you deal with the subordinate, being that the subordinate is a representative of the one that's in charge, that's also good enough because there is some degree of authority. There's the Baal Bayis, and there is the subordinate person. Either one is okay. You don't need both because all roads lead to the top. All roads lead to the authority, the highest authority. There's a hierarchy, and the one that's on the top is the one that ultimately has control. But when you don't have such a situation where there's one person in charge, one person that's a tafel, but there are two independent individuals, each one is a 50-50, then you don't have that situation. One does not represent the other. One is not tafel to the other. And therefore, each one must independently be dealt with. There are two Jews. The Jew does an Erech HaTzeres, and the non-Jew does Schirus. If there's two Goyim, each non-Jew requires a separate Schirus. Okay, now we go to Siman Tes Zayin. Im yesh le'en Yehudi chamisha schir malakita miyisraelim dorem bebeso ein dirasam chashuva dira sheyashu ze al ze. Now we come to a new idea. Let us say, for example, we have a home, and a home is owned by a non-Jew. Okay, non-Jew. So if it's a non-Jew, we have to do from the non-Jew schirus. No problem. The non-Jew happens to have hired a worker. Who's the worker? A Jew. The Jew is his full-time worker, the sochir or the loket. And he lives in the home. So we've learned the previous seifim that you don't have to deal with the owner. It's enough to deal with the sochir or the loket, the subordinate, because he represents the owner. What happens if the goy has in his rishus five workers? He has five Jewish people working for him full time. Full time, 24/7, they work and they actually live in his home. They don't own the home. They have absolutely no rights of ownership in this piece of property. They're nothing more than workers, and they're workers that work there for the long term. So they have the status of a sochir and a loket. And the rule is, when you do schirus from the property of a non-Jew, it's sufficient to deal with the sochir and the loket. So along comes the Machab, and he makes the following implied suggestion or question. If you have multiple Jews, so maybe each Jew is significant in their own right, being that they're Jewish, and they each one of these five workers needs to contribute towards an Eruv Echatzeros. If there's just one Socher V'Loket, just one Jew, so the one Jew base is a Tafel to the Goy, because the Goy is the owner. But when you have two workers, or more than two workers, then you have to deal with an issue that one Jew cannot be tofel to another Jew. The Jew can be a tofel to the goy, because the goy owns the property. So the Jew is now a sachir lakit to the non-Jew. But when you have multiple Jews, each Jew cannot necessarily be ignore the other Jews. Now let me listen to how there are
other Jews who are not employed by this guy.
No. Everyone there is employed. But outside of this bais, in the courtyard, let's say in the courtyard there are five homes, there are five structures. Four of them are owned by Jews, and those four have contributed towards the eruv. Now we have a structure.
One house with five Jews.
Right. So now, that's what, to hear it's a little complex. Listen to that Mishnah Berurah explains in a lot of detail. He explains the whole issue. Let's see Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Nun Beis. Dodim Beis Bachadodim Yuchadim Lucholech B'Vnei. Dealing with a situation where we have a structure and there are five Jewish workers, and each Jewish worker has their own separate room. Nun Gimel Ein Dirasam. Their home does not create a problem. What does that mean? The Af Al Gav De Achshavim Rabban LeDirasam V'Nasim. Even though Chazal have given a Jew, a Sochir, and a Loket authority, we consider them to be significant to the point, to the degree, where they can now represent the Goyim. So if a Jew is living in a non-Jewish home, and he is a worker, if we rent from this Jew, that is as if we rent from the Goy. Loi Amru, they only said this rule to give a Jew significance, Ela Lahokel, as a leniency that we can rent from him on the, and by renting from the Jew, automatically the non-Jew is thrown in. Avalo Shehe, we're not Machmer Shehe Dirason Chashuva Dira, Sheya Asru Zem Al Zeh, Kishaloi Erva. We did not give their home significance as a Dira, that each one of the five should be a problem to the one, each one should be a problem to the other, and require among these five an eruv chatzeros. The BMS ein dirasan miyuchedes lohem shoy akum yesh l'reshus lohem v'yochol l'salkom mishon, because the truth is they're really nothing. Why are these five Jews nothing? Because if the non-Jew tells these five workers, you're fired and get out, they're gone. So since they have no authority, they do not have any ownership, they're really, truthfully, completely insignificant. It's as if they do not exist. The only one that exists is the non-Jew. If they don't exist, how can it then be that if we rent from a worker, it's as if we rented from the non-Jew, but they're insignificant, they don't exist? No, we did give them chashivas. Oh, but if we gave them chashivas, so each one should be considered an independent resident. Therefore, we should require each one of these five to join together in an eruv chatzeros. Catch 22. Manavshach. If they're chashuv, they should be a problem one to the other. If they're not chashuv, how can they represent the non-Jew? So the answer is exactly what Chazal did. This whole halach of schiras smakim, as we learned multiple times, is very weak. It's just a takana. It's just a technique that a person should be conscious that it's not a good idea to live in a courtyard with a non-Jew. Chazal wanted to create problems, impediments, so that you would have the non-Jew leave, or you would find another place to live and not be under his influence. And and therefore, being that it's only it's a takana, they were extremely lenient in how they structured the takana. They only structured it with great leniency. And one of the leniencies is we have a Jew living inside. We gave the Jew significance as a representative of a guy, but we did not give the Jew significance to the degree where he would create a problem among his other fellow Jews. Okay, the schirus. Okay, then it goes on. The Ramah goes on to say the schirus, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's a mistake. It's not schirus. The correct word should be usichiroi. Usichiroi. The second to last one on the page. Usichiro shel ein Yehudi. That's just a simple statement. We read the Mishnah Berurah. Nun lasi Mishnah Berurah nun hey. Tosav v'sochlam u'schir v'rotzolay. Now, what it means here to say is next page the imsochrei bnei chatzar reshus meno akum. Just a general halacha. Let's say we have a home, and the home is owned by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew has rented his home to someone else. So there's someone else living in this home. But we have rented in Sochar b'nei chatzer reshus min ha'akum. Ein tzarech liskar min ha'sochir v'halokit. You don't have to rent from the workers. Here means the workers. Bein imhu Yisrael Yaakov, or milsa the pshitu. Over here, what it's saying is a simple man. There's no chiddush in this statement from the Ramah. The Ramah is saying that if you have over here a home, and the home is owned by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew has inside his home workers, and you have gone through the effort to do schiras mokoyim from the owner itself, that's enough. Don't think that you also have to do schiras from the workers. This that Chazal allowed us to do schiras from the workers was a leniency. That if the guy is giving you a hard time, you don't have to deal with the balabais, you can deal with the worker. But in a situation where it's pleasant to do business with the balabais itself, that's sufficient. You don't have to then deal with the worker. Don't be misled to think that since Chazal had given the workers chashivas to the degree where you can deal with them, they're so important, they have to be dealt with individually. No. If you deal with the balabais, you don't need to deal with the worker. The ein tsarach liskar me'asach ve'alakad bein imhu Yisrael Yaakov v'miltam shidahu el v'lfi ma'adah kaimolon da'ach shabin v'lidiras. And since we have been misled, we've been taught that we've given the workers significance. I would think to have a kishneyakum in a situation where there's a balabais and a worker, it's like two different non-Jews and you have to go rent from the non-Jew. Shadarim b'bayis tzarch luskar mikolecha luchanal kamash malon delukula aminon v'lo luchuma. We only say this, we only have given the workers significance only as a leniency, not as a stringency. And if you rent from the balabais, you don't need to rent from the workers. Okay, that concludes this simin. Let's now go to that sif. Now go to sif yizayin. New halacha. Okay, now we go to some easier halacha. Shnei chatzeros stolif nemizov yisrael ve'in yehudim b'nim. Let's read this halacha. The only time you have to do schiros is when there are at least two Jews and one non-Jew. If it's one Jew and one non-Jew, you do not need to do schiros. Why not? We've learned this a number of times because it's unusual. It's extremely rare for a Jew to be living alone in accordion with a non-Jew. It's takanas nefashos. Chazal did not institute this takana in a rare situation. Now let's say we have a situation where there's a courtyard within a courtyard. And the only way to get from the inner courtyard to the Rishus Haram is by traveling through the outer courtyard. And we have here a situation, all multiple situations of a Jew and a guy, one Jew, two Jews, a guy here, a guy there. In what situation do we require in a Ruve requires schiros? So here's the first case. Shtei chatzeros, two courtyards. Zo lifnim mizo. The Yisrael v'eni Yehudi b'pnimis. And in the inner courtyard, there's a one Jew and one non-Jew. The Yisrael b'bachitzoina. So what would you say right away? You would say to yourself that since in the inner courtyard there's a Jew and a non-Jew, the Jew and the non-Jew do not need to make, the Jew in the inner courtyard does not need to make an Ruve chatzeros. Why not? Because it's one Jew and a non-Jew. So if the Jew in the inner courtyard wants to carry, no problem. You don't need to do schiras, because only a non-Jew. Oh, but you'll say, but there's another Jew on the outside, in the chatzar hachitzayna, but the Jew in the chatzar hachitzayna does not have a right to come into the inner courtyard, because it's a one-way street. If you're in the inner courtyard, you travel to the outer courtyard into the Rishus Harabim. But if you're in the outer courtyard, there's no reason why you'd have to walk into the inner courtyard. So the Jew living in the outer courtyard has no need to walk into the Jew living in the outer courtyard has no need to walk into the inner courtyard. If the Jew in the outer courtyard would have free access and would have a need to come into the inner courtyard, then practically speaking, the inner courtyard would be basically would have two Jews and one non-Jew. And when we have a situation of two Jews and one non-Jew, we require schiros. But since the Jew in the outer courtyard has no reason whatsoever to enter into the inner courtyard, so the inner courtyard remains a situation where there's one Jew and one non-Jew. And when there's one Jew and one non-Jew, there's no requirement to do schiras makom. Now the question is, what about in the outer courtyard?
What about the inner? The guy from the inside wants to go after Rishus Haram, he has to pass the outer courtyard.
Exactly. So he has to pass the Rishus Haram. So we're not up to that yet. Oh. But right now, in the inner courtyard itself, is there a need for the Jew to do Sira stuff? Why? Is only one Jew and one non-Jew. Oh, but maybe you'll suggest, but there's another Jew in the outer courtyard, and a Jew in the outer courtyard might walk into the inner courtyard. We don't have to be. He doesn't have to walk into the inner courtyard. It's none of his business. The one in the outer courtyard has can easy access to the Rishus Haravim. So from the perspective of the Jew living in the inner courtyard, if he wants to carry from his home into his inner courtyard, it's just me and the guy. Me and the guy, no problem. But now I want to go further. I want to go from the inner courtyard to the outer courtyard. So there's no question, it's a given, I have to make with my neighbor in the outer courtyard in Eruv Eichatzeros, because I can't carry. The question now is, but do I have to also now do Schiros with the non-Jew in order to allow me to carry into the outer courtyard? In the inner courtyard itself, there's no question, I do not. Because why? Because since I'm going into the outer courtyard, and the non-Jew's also going in. So we're all going to be together in the outer courtyard. So the outer courtyard, what is the numbers? Two Jews and one non-Jew. Two Jews and one non-Jew automatically requires you to make an Eruve Chatzeros. So here we have over here, Ein Yehudi Shtei Chatzeros, Zor Lufnei Mizor, V'Yishol V'Ein Yehudi V'Pnimis, V'Yishol V'Chitzayna, Oy or She Yisrael v'Ein Yehudi, another situation, the other way around. She Yisrael v'Ein Yehudi v'Chitzona, there's a Yisrael and non-Jew in the outer one, v'Yisrael v'Pnimis, and there's a Jew in the inside. Or v'Yafilu Ein Yehudi v'Pnimis, or even a situation where there's an Ein Yehudi v'Pnimis u'Shnei Yisrael v'Chitzona, Oyser. So the common denominator of all of these situations is that in order to carry in the outer courtyard, you have to make an Eruv Eichatzeros. You have to do Schiros. You have to do for sure an Eruv, because there are two Jews. And you have to also do Schiros, because in all of the scenarios, who is traveling in the outer courtyard? Two Jews and one non-Jew. Whenever you have those numbers of two Jews and one non-Jew, automatically that triggers a requirement to do schiros. The yesh misha oimer, there are those that say a bigger chiddush. Shafilu eini yehudi bepnimis v'yishol echa b'chitzayna oisa. Fascinating. Let's say we have two courtyards. In the inside is a non-Jew, and the outer courtyard is a Jew. Do you need to do schirus in this situation? You say, of course not. Of course not. Why? Who's walking in the outer courtyard? A non-Jew. Who else is in the outer courtyard? Just me. It's one non-Jew and one Jew. One non-Jew and one Jew. What's the law? Do you need to do schirus? Of course not. So why would you need? Along comes the Yesh Mishan, because in this situation, since the guy is living in the inner courtyard, people don't know it's the inner courtyard. When you pass through the Rishus HaRabim, no one was like Maris Ayin. People do not really know who is living in the inner courtyard. People think that in the inner courtyard lives at least another Jew. So now when they see you in the outer courtyard carrying, and you did not do Schirus, they're going to say, look at that. There's at least two Jews, because you, we know, live in the outer courtyard. The inner courtyard, we know for sure, lives a non-Jew. And Mestama, there's another Jew living there as well in the inner courtyard. And now you do not do Schirus. Oh, from this we can learn, you don't need to do Schirus. So it's a Maris Ayin issue. If it's, what?
It's, the Schirus is not an evident thing. It's not an apparent thing. It doesn't really cure the Maris Ayin situation.
Okay, but that's what it says. I hear what you're saying. It's a chiyuv. I agree with you. I say it's difficult. I think we're so far removed from the society. See, it's almost impossible for us to relate to the Maris Ayin, because we don't have any understanding. What it means, like a mavo, you know, a little courtyard, and there's an inner courtyard, and when people, they walk in the street, how they think, oh, there's a goy and a Jew and a sakana. It's so hard for us to relate. It's lost on us.
He doesn't print the Schirus contract and put it on the wall.
I know, it's very difficult. Okay, but let's see the Mishnah we're inside, and we'll stop. The Mishnah we're inside says, V'yesh mishoymer nun nun tes. V'yesh mishoymer the afal gav the b'chol makam yishol echad makam one, even though generally one Jew with a guy in a oitzah filu m'dorim b'chotzer echad svulei d'hocha goratvei. Not everyone knows who's living there. The Yachshu are going to think that there's a Jew living there besides an non-Jew. When they see now that you're carrying in the outer courtyard, you're going to say they're going to say that you don't need to do schirus when there's a non-Jew. And Mimela, it's going to be a Gemara sign issue. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, you don't have to be machner. When we come up with halacha, we don't pass like this, we don't pass the Yesh, Mishaymer, we're lenient. Many disagree with this. So the Mishnah Berurah comes to Paskin, not like the Yesh Mishoimer in the Mechaber. We don't hold in the Samar Sayin. So we're up to Simon Yud Ches. We'll stop here.